Amen. Let me just go straight into one another's standing in our hearts. Amen. For this moment. That song, Your Goodness, is running after us. How many of you like it?
Amen.
It's a song of David. Amen.
Amen.
We always pray it after every, most after every prayer. Some of us say 3 to 4 times a day. Amen.
Amen.
Your goodness and your mercy shall run after me. That word follow after me in Hebrew is chase, run after me. Amen?
Amen.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We sing that song, amen?
Amen.
But many of us don't know that it's a song of harvest. It's a harvest song. It's a song that came after David has come through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't just get to that place overnight. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he passed that place. Says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have anointed my head with oil. Now God puts an approval upon him and empowers him. And now he says, your goodness and your mercy will come after me. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall come after you. Amen?
Amen.
David went through valleys and mountains and all kinds of things because he received the call of destiny. That's why I wrote that song, Lord, you're my shepherd. And after going through all that he went through, he was finally made a king. And the goodness of the Lord was upon him. And he dwelt in the tabernacle of David, where the presence of God was there continuously. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not just words. It happened. It's prophetic for us. But we should not forget. When we sing it, it's a song like Mary, like Elizabeth, like Zechariah. It was a prophetic song that came out of the hardness of their time. Barrenness. When the breakthrough came, the words came and they magnified the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, the Lord spoke that song, and I called Daisy and I told her, I didn't even know she's never sang that song before. And she sang it like she wrote it because it was in her spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We thank God for talented, gifted musicians, and now see what God is doing. Now, the reason why I called her a few weeks ago to sing that song was because it was a prophetic season for Manza. From the beginning of this year, from the beginning of the Hebraic season, when God started with Miriam's husband, I noted that. And if you are observant in this house, I always I say things about that a little bit. But I don't just let things like that go by. Because we have come through valleys. So when God begins to do some signs that I recognize, it's a message. I write them down. Because I know the sufferings will come true. And I know God was speaking into a season. So, I took note of that, and God keeps saying, watch the signs. Receive the message for the signs of the season. The children of Israel came out of Egypt in mighty miracles, wonders, but they did not get the message. They were just receiving the breakthrough. But they didn't get the message behind the wonders. And when they got to the wilderness, they did not know God. They did not understand where they came out from. They took it for granted. And those signs and wonders were just to feed their flesh. They did not get the message. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus began his ministry, after he came out of a 40 days of intense battle, later he was invited. The first ever miracle he did was in Cana, in a hidden environment. And you all know about that miracle. When people enjoy that miracle in the natural, the Bible says his disciples took note. It says this beginning of miracle was a manifestation of the glory of God. So he's been saying a lot of things, they quite didn't get it. But when they started seeing some signs, they reconciled the signs with what he's been saying. And the Bible says his disciples now believed. So when God is doing miracles in this season, they are not miracles to excite our flesh. They are messages. They are messages. Amen? So that's why the Lord spoke that word. On the day of Pentecost, I told you there were several signs to what happened here. One of those signs is a scripture the Lord spoke to me, and I won't mention it at the right time, but the scripture, when that happened, the Lord said, from this moment, I will begin to bless you. Blessing is not always physical. For me, the blessings I cherish most are spiritual. Peace in the midst of storm. Joy when it looks like everything is not going well. Real calmness when everything wants to pull you to get your temperament to rise. Those fruit of the Spirit that establishes you. Humility, meekness. Those are things that really, really get me excited when God is manifesting those. Amen?
Amen.
And then the rest are icing on the cake. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Eternal blessings. So this morning I want to talk to us about the season we are in, so that we can begin to embrace the season and begin to understand the signs of the season and then begin to walk into the seasons. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's for all of us. It's for all of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So before I read the scripture, let me use somebody that we're all familiar with, Moses, to explain seasons. Because the Bible says, God taught Moses his ways, but the children of Israel his arts. Amen. The ways of God are way far beyond our human comprehension. And we only understand it by revelation, and we walk in it by faith, because our human minds cannot accept it. So God started with Moses. There was a seed that was sown into his heart that God was going to use him. And God was going to use him to harvest Israel. What do I mean by that? To bring Israel, he's going to be part of that generation of the prophecy that came hundreds of years ago. I will be part of this generation that will see the deliverance of Israel. And in that time, there was no hope for deliverance. If we think our generation is bound, that generation that time thinks their generation is more bound, because Israel was under the weight and the bondage of Egypt. Really bad. Amen? And God told Moses, you will see the deliverance of the generation. You are part of that generation that Abraham talked about, passed down from generations, that I will bring them out of Egypt and I will not bring them out empty. Your generation will experience that. And Moses received it and got excited. So the first thing Moses did was, I'm going to do it. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to do it. He killed one person and the other person exposed him and he ran away. Amen?
Amen.
Because the forces that was holding Israel captive were not just human. So he came out of Egypt That was one season. So the first season of his life, he was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt to be heir to the throne of Egypt. He was raised up to be the prince of Egypt. He was raised up to be who is who in Egypt, actually to sit on the throne. He went to the best school. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then, when the burden of his calling was weighing on him, he could not stand the bondage, the wickedness. He just couldn't deal with it. Then he started trying to start ministering his own strength. So that's when he was kicked out. That was the first 40 years of his life. So this might be the first 20 years, first 30 years of your life, first 15 years, whatever it is. But that was the beginning of him understanding the call of God on his life. And then the next 40 years, he was in the training. The ways God trains men is not the way the world trains men. Amen?
Amen.
The world, they train you and give you ability for you to do all you can do in human strength, human brain, human ability. But God trains you to have the ability to rule in the spirit and enforce it in the physical realm. So the training in the spirit has to be different from the training in the physical. Amen?
Amen.
So the world trained David, Moses 40 years in Egypt. God trained him 40 years in the wilderness. Hallelujah!
Amen.
How did God train him in the wilderness? He did a menial job. A very menial job. He was taking care of cattle, heads of cattle, goats. Maybe Jethro also had chickens, who knows. But Moses was taking care of cattle. And he had a rod. And that rod is what he used, maybe the goats, the shepherd's rod, and carried it all these years of his life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you are in his shoes, and many of us have experienced things like that, you probably just think that the vision you had for Egypt was a pizza dream. Because every possible human logic for that dream to happen is disappeared. Then all my training is wasted in this wilderness. But his training, God's training will kill your flesh and build your spirit, man. God's training will humble your flesh and cause you to have boldness in the spirit. God's training will completely strip you of any capacity you have humanly to boast and put your dependency on God and God alone. When God is done with you, you will see the picture of Moses. I can't speak. I can't do anything. Pharaoh is just too much. I can't even go back to Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
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 Then all of a sudden, when God, Galatians says, at the appointed time of the Lord, after that training, that school of the Holy Spirit, when God now found out Moses has matured in the heart, Moses now cannot boast in the flesh. He can't do nothing in the flesh. Now God's training is complete. Amen?
Amen.
And whenever God's training is complete, Matthew chapter 9 says, God will ekibalo you. He will trust you first. He will call you out of that place. The message this morning is, God is looking for laborers. Laborers. Not labor. And you see very soon. So Moses now forgotten everything now. He's finished the school of the Lord. And then the Lord called him. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to first of all let you know that whatever the job you're doing right now, whatever you have been doing, God has been using it to train you, to prepare you for a high calling. Amen?
Amen.
If God trains you and you are not humiliated in the flesh, you're not broken, you're not, you don't see any need for dependency on God, you know you're still going through human training. Because the call of God on your life is always beyond your human endeavors. Always above. Amen?
Amen.
So, when God called Moses now, God started with signs to let him know the harvest has come. The hour of harvest has come. Before he could see the signs in Egypt, God led him to start experiencing the sign around him. The first, the bigger stick that he's been carrying for 40 years to shepherd animals, God now says, you're going to use this rod to shepherd both the spiritual realm and the children of Israel. The staff of office. God started with that sign. You all know what happened. One thing after the other. Why did God do that? Because Moses, every one of us, get to a point we are convinced we can't do it at this point. Moses knew he can't. He couldn't see the way it's going to happen. So God now had to use signs to say, I will do it. You just follow me. And the time Moses received that, it was harvest time. Everybody say harvest time.
Harvest time.
Kingdom harvest. So God equipped Moses. What did he equipped him? The work he's been doing for 40 years expired. He went to Jethro, says, it's time now to go back. Start a new job. Amen?
Amen.
The job of the supernatural. And that's what God did, and the rest was history. Amen?
Amen.
Now, why did I share that? Because another generation was raised up by Moses as they came out of Egypt. And that generation had a promise on their heart. They had a promise on their mantle. And God started training them and training them and training them and training them in the wilderness. Amen?
Amen.
They were trained for 40 years about that. Because after another 40 years of Moses walking, he died at the age of 120. Amen?
Amen.
And now, a new generation came. We call it Joshua's generation. Amen?
Amen.
So what was this generation? That's what I'm about to share with you about your harvest. So if you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, you will see the call to this generation's assignment. Just like Moses, God told Joshua, your generation will see the occupation, the harvest, and the possession of the promised land. Your generation will see. Moses, your generation will see them come out of Egypt. Joshua, your generation will see them possess the land. Every generation that is sensitive to the prophetic time and seasons of the Lord, they know their time. And those who know their time, they do exploits. So God called Joshua. He said, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. What does that mean, Moses' minister? He's been trained. He's been schooled the way Moses has been schooled. He understood the school of the kingdom, the wilderness, the dying, the purging of the things of the world to focus on the reason he was born and called into his mouth. Amen?
Amen?
He came out of that school under Moses. And verse 2, God said, Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. Meaning he's not physically here to continue the assignment. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I will give unto thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he gave him the boundaries of these blessings. And then he says that in verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage. For unto these people thou shalt what? Divide unto them what? Inheritance. Harvest is inheritance time. It's possession time. Reaping time. Growth time. Multiplication time. Thou shalt divide unto for them an inheritance for the land which I swore unto what? Their fathers. So it is not your commitment, it's not your vision, it is from God. It's God's plan, it's God's purpose. You are just part of that generation of the promise of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let me read this verse 2 again. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. My brothers and sisters, every move of God is already been prophesied by the prophets of God. It's already been spoken by God from time. Every purpose of God is already finished from the foundation. But God carries them out in their own generations and seasons. Amen?
Amen.
So how does God fulfill his promises? He fulfills his promises through vessels who not only understand that season, prepare for it, and to be commissioned. But are vessels who understand they are in this earth to fulfill a cause. Not just to live for the world. Not just to get married and have children, have garage houses and garage cars. Those are benefits for earthly assignments. But the kingdom, permanent, eternal assignment was already known and impacted into your life before you were born and established in your mother's womb. According to Jeremiah 1. So when you enter into this world and you're just living and living without this understanding, you will expire, your flesh will expire, and you'll be wondering when you stand before God, did I fulfill my purpose, my mission in the earth? And that's the reason why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest is great, but the people that were born for it, people who understand their season, their generation, the woman, they are few. He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he will trust for, he will awaken, he will stir up people. Call them out of the place of earthly distraction into eternal purposes because the season has come. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So that's what God did to Moses. He called him out of the place of earthly inheritance to be a king and gave him an heavenly inheritance to rule over kings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So here, God says, Joshua, Moses has expired in the flesh. He can't continue the mission to fulfill all that I've spoken. I need the next generation that has flesh and blood to carry this assignment. Joshua, arise. So God now raised up another people that have been prepared and say, go and finish, fulfill. What is the assignment this time? To go and possess. To fulfill that aspect of what God has spoken. I will be with you as I was with. So, the same thing Jesus did. As Jesus expired in the flesh, he died, was a corn of wheat that was sown. He, being the Son of God, understood. All these people you see in the Old Testament are types and shadows. Moses trained people, prepare them. Stabola is always big about the next generation. Prepare them. And now when the time came, there was an empowerment. So that the purpose of the kingdom and the light of the kingdom will not disappear in the earth. So Jesus did the same thing. As soon as he was called, he understood his timing. He was going to leave, He understood exactly his assignment. But when he started his assignment, just like Moses, he had to train people. He had to prepare people. They were called disciples. Amen?
Amen.
He trained them. He prepared them. Every one of them has lucrative jobs. He called his own out of a fishing business, especially when the fishing business was going to boom. He called the other guy from a financial company, Matthew. He called this from this, called this from this, calling them, going to where they are and calling them into their kingdom assignment. And as he called them and they responded, he started training them, started preparing them. Because he was here physically, he had to train them in a very short amount of time. 3 years with demonstration. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
Yes.
Jesus trained the disciples to understand the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. You can never plunder the harvest of this world with natural strength. Even the days of Moses, you can't get them out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's hands naturally. More or less now. And everything is spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus trained his disciples. And that's where Jesus, as he was ministering, doing his own part. You can go read it in the last verses of Matthew 9. He cried. He said, the harvest is great. Why? Because there were people sick and so many needs, and he was just the only person. And he was meeting these needs and, you know, just needs everywhere. And he says, the harvest is so great. But the laborers, in other words, people who have understood their internal assignment on earth, are very few. They're heavily distracted by human agenda. So, he said, pray. It will take prayer to awaken a generation to the lost, to the needs of the lost. Last week, it was not a coincidence. It's a follow-up. God put that message on the cross. I spoke to you last week about the cross. How there are people in church, worship, great, this great, we do everything, but they don't understand how to relate to the people on the outside. Outside of the church, we don't know how to relate to the lost. We don't know how to deal with the lost. If homosexuals or bisexuals or drugs or harlots or rich people or governors or presidents that's coming here, we don't know how to relate to them. We don't know how. More or less how to relate to them when they are out there. We saw it last week. Without the cross, we are shut in the four walls of the church. Amen? Because the fruit that we have experienced the cross is that our life is a reconciliation, it's ministry to people that don't have God in their lives and to other believers. So Jesus discipled his people and told us to pray for laborers. Amen?
Amen.
And so he took his disciples, trained them, and as he was leaving, he commissioned them. He says, I'm about to live physically. I'm alive forever. But as far as this human jacket is concerned, my assignment is done. So I'm going to turn the baton to you because the word of God has never failed. There are harvests in your generation. You go now and harvest here. Begin from your Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how this gospel came to us. How did it get to us? Before we continue, my brothers and sisters, there are generations after generations that God did not find even anybody. After the apostles left, all he found were people who wanted to be religious, who wanted to just have fun, make money up with the name of God, build empires with the name of God, just rule you, just deceive. And that was Satan's plan. And they succeeded, but there was no light. There was no real true conversion. They call it the dark age. For almost, after the disciples left, for almost 1,000 years, there was no true revival. It was later Martin Luther and a few people became the new light of the dark age. And that brought us to where we are today. God didn't find people that were willing to be trained God's way to be able to do things God's way. Amen?
Amen.
So, every generation God prepares a harvest and looks for harvesters. So from what I read to you here, there are principles that govern harvest season when men get to that point. For us, the revelation came and I shared a little bit with you. I just want to add to it today. Psalms 126. The principle of the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is spiritual before it's natural. If you don't understand the law of sowing and reaping, it's hard for you to understand the kingdom of God. Jesus told a lot of parables of the kingdom of God, a majority of them on the law of sowing and reaping, in different ways. Amen?
Amen.
In the physical, you go to Walmart, you work, and they pay you. Anywhere you go work, they pay you. That's the law of sowing and reaping. You work hard, you school, there's a reward for it. It did not come from man. That principle came from God, all the way from Genesis. Every man must be rewarded fairly for their labor. But the kingdom reward is greater. God doesn't reward in arithmetic, God rewards in a geometric form, in abundance. Amen?
Amen.
When a corn of wheat goes into the ground, you don't just take one corn, you reap a tree.
Yes.
That's kingdom bread, blessing. So the Lord taught this revelation of sowing and reaping, which this younger generation have lost, especially in the area of sowing into the kingdom, financially. I don't say a whole lot about it because it's been so abused, so I just enjoy it for myself. Giving is the only reason I stand here today. I will never lack because the principle of giving, I will never stop. If I depended on church and I would not be doing what I'm doing today. And the way God provides for us here in this place. So don't lose what God has already given you as a secret of life. Or else you'll be laboring and laboring in Egypt and still not know that you have an inheritance in God when you're faithful in little things. Just give it. So what the giving I want to talk about, the law of sowing I want to talk about here, which I always focus on, is the spiritual. Psalms 126, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that were dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue filled with singing. Then said they among the heathens, the Lord has done great things for them. I could walk you, I've said it many times in this, walk you through the history of Israel going in and out of bondage and being blessed. It's talking about freedom. But the part we want to look at this morning is from verse 5. They that sow in tears shall harvest, shall reap with joy. Harvest time is a celebration. He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the scripture I want to read. What does that mean? I said something a few weeks ago, and I was saying, God, when will you give me, when will I really share this in the revelation and the context? I'm still waiting for him to tell me when to share it. But the scripture, what he gave to me, I mentioned to you the last time was, the Lord said to me, my My word is not an advice. My word is the only way of life. The only way for eternal life. And I give an illustration. GM produces cars, isn't it? What other company produces cars?
Toyota
produces cars. Okay. All those people, when they design the cars, they designed it that those cars, except for the modern cars now that we use electric, they designed those cars to use gasoline, isn't it? They designed those cars to use engine oil, isn't it? Amen? So the question I want to ask you when God was talking to me is, are they advising you to use oil? Do they advise you to use gas? Is that an advice?
No, because they must.
It is part of the design. Advice is somebody is giving you input on maybe making something better or making something. Just giving you some advice on how to do this. But a word, something designed the way it's designed, it's not an advice, it's the only way it works. You sow into the ground and it reaps. You can't do it any other way. Amen?
Amen?
So the difference between advice and the word of God is, the word of God is the only way for eternal life. It's the only way for divine success. It's the only way for victory. It's the only, God has decided that in this world is the only way things work. So for us, me, I can advise you to read the word. But the word of God is not advising. It is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way. There's no two ways. Jesus is. Amen?
Amen.
So, one of these days, the Lord will share more about what brought that up and how it changed. Transformed, it's like renewed my mindset about trusting the word of God. Because it's not an advice whether if I do this it will work or not. It's the only way it works. I do it, believe it, do what God says. It works. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, the Lord is saying, those that sow in tears, there is harvest time. There is harvest time. Amen?
Amen.
Paul says in Galatians, do not be weary in well-doing. For in God's season, not man's season, that word due season means in God's time, you will see your harvest.
Amen.
You will reap if you faint not. Many times we faint because we're looking to our season. But God's season is different from our season. Amen?
Amen.
So, in the principle of sowing and reaping from this, it says those that sow in tears. It's talking about there are things we pray for. There are things we're believing God for. There are things we're pregnant with the seed, expectation. We're trusting God like Moses, God has said to us. Many of you are believing God for many things. You're praying for many things. And trusting the Lord. God is saying to you is, when you begin to pray, when you begin to trust Him, when you begin to, you are sowing. Those things can be painful. You are praying. You are seeking, you are crying. But now, like a farmer, my brothers and sisters, they don't give up until harvest.
Amen.
Why? Because a farmer knows that there's a waiting period. And that's where it throws all of us off. That waiting and waiting and praying and waiting and sowing and seeking and waiting, we don't have patience for. Amen?
Amen?
But God is saying that's the only way it works. So, as we wait, as the farmer waits, all of a sudden, the branches come up, the fruit come up, and you still have to wait until it's what? Ripe! Amen?
Amen?
Just the same way the fruit is ripe, the same way God wants our spiritual man to be fruitfully ripe, matured, Christians. To be able to harvest some things. When the fruit is ripe, that's when we put in the sickle and harvest. When Moses was now ripe, matured, full age in the spirit, God says you're ready for your harvest. Why? Because 3 million people or about came out of Egypt. How would Moses have handled that in the flesh? Moses that got angry, tried to deal with one Egypt and kill him. was so angry and killed an Egyptian. He would have killed all the Israelites. Because they really pushed his flesh bad. But instead, he stood in the gap. God, kill me before you kill these people. He was a dead man. If you're not going to carry this one to the promised land, what will the world say? Standing in the gap. For people who are cursing him every day, making him feel miserable every day, we'll never get to this promise. You deceived us. You're taking us around this. They first still is praying for them. Why? He was a dead man. He was matured. Amen? He was ripe for the harvest. Amen? There are harvests that comes in many, many ways. The moment you start reaping harvest, it comes in three ways. It comes in spiritual promotion, increase in anointing or empowerment. It comes in soulish promotion. You grow, you mature in the knowledge, the fruit of God, in the fruit of the Spirit, in wisdom, understanding, dealing with people, serving. Then it comes in material blessings, material things. God will begin to bless you materially. If you have not been trained, you've not died like Saul, that material thing will become the only reason you don't make it to heaven. You'll be cut off. Saul was cut off. Because he was blessed so much that his blessing caused him to disobey God, to rebel against the ways of God. Amen? So the purpose of being matured before God starts trusting us with blessings is not God's God, it's God's wisdom. Sometimes we say, why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? Why? Because God is still maturing us. God is still preparing us. The Lord spoke to me 10 years ago when I was envying. I just got born again. Somebody got blessed. My roommate. And I was so jealous and envy. My flesh was still on high gear. I was like, you brought all these things, you didn't even think about me. I was saying it in my heart. All these things, you gave this guy, you gave this, all these things, and you didn't think about me. What the woman found was what he found, and it was that guy's size. And he blessed him. But you see, I wasn't matured. I have not even started dying to the flesh. I just came from Nigeria, just got saved. So in my mind is, he just blessed her. What about me? But thank God for that experience, because that's when my life started turning around. And the Lord spoke to me and said, my hands are so big that no human being can be limited in God's supply. The Lord gave me this illustration. If all of us go to a buffet, Dr. Busola, you know buffet? I think most people know Chinese buffet there. Okay, when you go to buffet, dinner, do you have a problem about what Ola is eating or what Yolanda is eating? You just let them go. They can go 10 times. It doesn't run out. You can go once and you're okay. Can be. But the point is, there's chicken, there's this, there's that, there's that. Some people want to taste everything, that's fine. Some people will eat this one, that's fine. Just you, I don't know what you eat. You eat this, you're fine. Everybody is according to what? Capacity. And everybody's what? Satisfied. That's what God told me. He says, there is everybody, he has inheritance.
Yes.
Everybody was born a royal priest. With blessings, with no limits to what God can give. Amen?
Amen.
He says the reason why our flesh, our orphan mind, tends to not rejoice with others or celebrate with others, and it's because we don't really know how much God has in store for us. Amen?
Amen.
And some people's blessing, they are not interested in natural things. Some people's blessing might be totally different. Amen?
Amen?
So that doesn't mean if this person doesn't have this, they must have it. No. They might not need it. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't want to be married. Amen? It wasn't a bad thing. But I missed God. So God finally brought me back to marriage. Amen?
Amen.
There are people today that have made a decision, I don't want to remarry. And you're like, are you crazy? So the point I'm making is, buffet is before the Lord. God will satisfy the desires of your heart.
Amen?
Amen? So in harvest time, there are different kinds of blessings. When God started with Moses, Moses did not understand the spiritual atmosphere he was under. God had to use the natural to begin to give him indication. Put this rod, don't snake. Put your hands there, became lips. Put it back. God had to use the physical to say, this is the atmosphere you're entering into. Signs are for natural man. Unbelievers. So, we have entered a season from Pentecost. It's harvest season, not just for Mount Zion. It's for the church. But God wants us to walk where we are. Amen?
Amen?
In this season, the spiritual aspect of it, you will be receiving it through worship. That's why our focus is going to be a lifestyle of worship. Amen? We've been talking about it a lot. Amen?
Amen.
Worship at home, worship here, is how this river, this glory will be pouring into your spiritual life. Some of you have seen different times here. We're about to go a little bit deeper in that process.
Amen.
We did a little bit of workers training and stuff. I'm preparing you because we're about to start worshiping and pushing deeper. That's one. And God will start increasing his glory. Spiritual blessing. When we mature, God says he begins to give us authority. Some of us don't realize the atmosphere we are now, we carry authority in your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
So that's another one. So there are different paths. Then there's the soulish path. Many of you have noticed it, but you might not realize it. You have matured a lot. There are things that used to bother you, it's no more there. There are things that you used to strive for, it's no more there. There is a growth I see. There's a maturity I see in many of your lives. Wisdom. Your soulish realm is being polished. And God is establishing character in you. Meekness, servitude is growing. Then materially, God is beginning to test some of you with little blessings here and there. God is beginning to do something. But it's going to explode.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes how you know how to tap and receive something coming from the Spirit is to watch how it's already manifesting in some people's life. Maybe from the head, from Aaron's head, you feel the water. I told you all here, part of our harvest, God told us we're going to have a building, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we all started praying and started believing. But God is testing us, watching us in the process. Instead of letting us enter into the building, the first thing he did was provide the money. To me, that is a message. Nobody is going to give you millions of dollars like that. It was supernatural. So now,
that place is ready for us. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not happy that this stopped. But my ears is beginning to feel so, amen. Hallelujah.
So now, God opened heaven and laid it on somebody's heart to buy us a property that cost a lot of money. And we can just increase this volume a little bit for. And to me, that is like parting the Red Sea. Amen?
Amen?
The yellow one, yes. It's like parting the Red Sea. That's miraculous. We in Mount Zion, we walk by faith here. If you notice why we don't push our offering, it's because we are trusting God to teach people to give. Whatever we receive is what we use for the church. See, when we had money, we put new carpet. Don't you like it? We want sound systems.
Amen.
That's what Mount Zion is doing.
Amen.
Our big project, God provides from different sources. We don't put pressure on Mount Zion for the big project we do. Amen?
Amen.
But your giving is why I can float on this carpet. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you. So God provides, and He surprises us with that massive giving to show us God is not an arithmetic person. So He's gone ahead of us. So we're praying now that the building door will open. Amen?
Amen.
While we're waiting for the building, the Lord spoke to us, I told you, prepare a tent. It's not our property. That's why we've not mentioned it. Beginning from next month, I'll share with you more about the vision and where we're going from here to there. It's harvest time.
Amen.
And we want to prepare for it. Amen?
Amen.
So say, prepare a tent. And we started taking steps. The reason I'm mentioning it now is the church that owns that place has now given us total liberty to use the place.
Hallelujah.
They've approved it for us now, so we have a place to use.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
The man asks, how long are you going to use it? Because normally if you take something, you tell them how long. The last tent meeting, the repentance meeting, was like 4 days, about 4 or 5 days. When he asked me how long, I kind of quieted a little bit because I didn't know how long God is going to need the place. But for a human being, you have to tell them how long. So I told him, let's start with a month. A month? And I said, okay. So he gave us, at least for now, we had that place for a month.
Wow.
Beginning September. That is favor.
Yes.
That is favor. They could have so many reasons to say no, 3 days, 4 days. But God says, start it and don't put any ending date. Let's take one, follow the cloud. So we're going to hear more on that. Amen?
Amen.
So now for God to open that door, He must provide that money waiting for us to obey every step.
Amen.
Only God knows how we'll go from the tent and we don't know what the next thing will be. But we know there's money now waiting, so we don't know how God will do it. That is harvest. What is God showing us signs about? He's doing the physical things, waiting to see if some of us are hearing it in the spirit. Because they're supernatural things. And now God is opening other doors for major assignments. I won't mention now. We'll talk about more later regarding Nigeria. Here, we want to carry this glory from here. It's a miracle time.
Amen.
We're just seeing little by little.
Amen.
And now, another thing I want to bring. That's what I'm saying. God is giving us signs. It's not the things. Amen?
Amen?
A few weeks ago, just so you know, I mean, God is blessing people. A few weeks ago, get the message from the sign. Forget about the material thing. We went to a prayer meeting. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. Because understanding is required. There are testimonies that can be negative in people's mind if it's not conveyed correctly. We went to a prayer meeting, and in the prayer meeting it happens that the person that is buying our property was there. And we're praying, and a prophetic word came from one of our sisters here. Desire has been driving a car that smiles on the right side. You know, the bumper has a big laugh on this side. So I've been begging her, go change this thing, change this thing. He's looking, change it. She just kept using it. I didn't know in her heart, she'd been believing God for something different. So we keep saying, let's just change that thing. It's not good. So, but she's been driving it. So the word came that Desire needed a car. Amen?
Amen.
So if you need a car, somebody buys you a car like they did mine, you rejoice and say it's a car. But instead of us having a car, God gave us a message. Amen?
Amen.
The prophecy came on Wednesday about this season. And there were people in that meeting that were confirming they've not met you, but they keep telling us about Mount Zion seasons. What God is doing in Mount Zion. They are not there, they are prophets. So the word came Wednesday. On Thursday, we received a call from a very, very wonderful person that was in that room. And the person told Keziah to come by their office. She went there. We already felt it was probably a car they were going to give us. So let's go get a car. Keziah can now be at peace. I went to get there, and the person gave Keziah his own personal car. One of his cars. And it's a car that is almost $70,000 to $80,000, a Porsche. Why am I sharing this? You might be looking at it, wow, I miss what God is saying to Mount Zion.
Yes.
God could have given her any car, like, you know, why would the owner say, that's, you see, when the king blessed Esther, when it's spiritual, there are some things God is speaking to us, spiritual, we're looking in the natural. I believe God is saying, I want to give you what is mine. Mm-hmm. I want to start doing something for my bride, for the church, that is from me. You are thinking this way, but I'm calling you higher.
Amen.
In the things of the Spirit. Amen. You're my bride. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm taking you deeper in the things of the Spirit. It's not about a car. What is he going to do with a porch? We don't need a porch. Amen? It's the message. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
That's the latest testimony. But that's the message.
Amen.
Amen. God is saying to Mount Zion,
Amen.
I am your husband.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm taking you to places, and I'm bringing up, I'm about to begin to give you what is mine. What is mine? What you don't deserve. What you don't even, it doesn't cross your mind, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above even what you're thinking. That's the message from
us.
For this house.
Amen.
And more spiritually.
Amen.
But again, it's used another natural sign. $70,000 car for what? Amen?
Amen?
That's for rich people that wants to, they know what they need it for. Amen. Not for us. But it's a message for us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Now hopefully, Keziah has experienced humility. Amen?
Amen?
So she can let the car, let Abby drive it.
Yes.
Let you drive it. Let everybody drive it.
Yeah.
Amen? It's not a car, it's the body of Christ.
Amen?
That's humility.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I also plead with Keziah because I know how human beings think. That's why this testimony I will share. Sometimes I have to kneel down. See, Keziah, don't wear that cloth. Don't wear this, don't wear that. They are all free. They send it to Nigeria for my. I say, you don't know how people think. You're trying to be this just simple. But it might look extravagant. So I got tired of that stuff. I said, just go, just have your way. Amen? So I'm giving up. Hallelujah! But my joy is that she, out of her regular job, she's paying her tithe. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're in the harvest time. And God is speaking to all of us.
Amen.
God is calling us. And He's calling us beyond our expectation.
Amen.
He's calling you beyond your expectation.
Amen.
My brothers, I could walk all my life in the physical. I can't afford a car like that. I don't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But for God to say, this is what I'm about to do for the church. I'm about to take you beyond even your expectation. That's God.
Amen.
That's God. So to this morning, I want us, my prayer is, God is looking for laborers. He's calling us out of ourselves to begin to be more mindful of the kingdom internal assignment. That tent, we need laborers. The souls that are coming, we need laborers training, we're training. This worship time, God is preparing us. So I just want to encourage us, it's our time to labor and see why God is gradually preparing us and preparing their harvest. So I want us to stand, if you don't mind. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. My brothers and sisters, it's not by might, it's not by power. We can't do it. God just wants to use our bodies. And he's asking, will you go for me? Will you answer the call? He's not telling you you need to leave this job, leave that, but in your workplace. He just, all he wants is, are you available for me? Can you say yes to internal assignments? Can you make yourself available for the things that we're beginning to do in this church? To volunteers? Are you ready to disciple others? My brothers, God will reward you more than the world will reward you. Our generation is lost. And the Lord reminded me this few weeks, son, I can take you to heaven and you see all my glory and you come home. But the only reason I need you right now is because you're in the flesh and I need the harvest, the lost. That's why you're here, my brothers. So if you don't mean it, don't answer. Just say, so God, I'm not ready. But if you're ready for God, if you're ready to be available, whatever it takes, God, I want to work for you. I want to serve you. I want this body you purchase to be used for your purpose. You say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Is he play something on the keyboard? Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cries. What on earth thou art caused, all what you need. Father, we don't know the surprises that are ahead, but you keep asking for laborers. You keep asking for men and women who will commit themselves to you for the work in this house, to prepare for the harvest, to prepare for what you're about to do. Father, we are seeing signs here and there. You are stirring the hearts of people. You are enlarging our things. You are positioning things. The handwriting for breaking forth is upon us. You need laborers. You need men and women committed to work. Will you find one in this place? Will you find two? Will it be all of us? Say yes, Lord. You know the heart, not the lips. We thank you. You said, he that will not deny self and follow me is not worthy. You said, we must carry the cross. That's the work of the ministry. The work of reconciliation daily and follow you. Father, Christianity at ease without doing something for my neighbor. Without looking out there or out there. You said we'll pass by our mission fields when we're coming from church, coming from work. We'll always pass that man on the road, that person at work, that person, whatever you want to do with the stage, with whatever you want to do with our lives, we don't want to miss it. Do not pass us by. Father, this morning, when somebody says, I'm ready, God, I'm committed. You told the disciples, you don't have to have anything. Just say yes. If I provided for the birds of the air and the lilies of the garden, I will provide for you. Father, may nothing stand in the way of us saying yes. Because you are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Once again, let's sing that song. Why on earth thou art calling to not pass me? If you're here this morning and your life is struggling, you're battling pornography, you're battling anything that will condemn you and make you feel you're not worthy of this call, the Lord is here. Just say, forgive me. Forgive me, that's all. And God, I want to be part of this army. I want to be part of your work. I want to serve you. Let not my shortcomings disqualify me. All you need to do is say, yes, Lord. And if you said yes this morning, commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. Father, I ask for your grace upon everyone. I ask for your strength. I ask for the willingness, the ability to sacrifice, the willingness, oh God, to obey you in this season.